and welcome to the next episode in the podcast Discipleship in Challenging Times. My name is Peter Morden and I'm team leader at Cornerstone Baptist Church in Leeds. Today we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 through to chapter 11, verse 1. And this reflection is entitled, Do What Is Best. Let's come before our wonderful, gracious Lord in prayer. Lord, we ask and pray that as we return to 1 Corinthians today and as we pick up on the reflections in this great book once again, be with us, strengthen us, speak to us, and enable us to respond. Once again, O Lord, we ask that the same Holy Spirit that inspired your word, that makes it trustworthy and true, would make it come alive to us. May the words leap off the page. May they impress themselves on us as we hear them read. Lord, excite us by your word and by your Spirit. And as we grow in excitement, may we also be transformed in our practical day-to-day lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So 1 Corinthians 10 and picking up verse 23. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek their own good, but the good of others. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If some unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions of conscience. But if anyone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the man who told you and for conscience' sake. The other man's conscience, I mean, not yours. For why should my freedom be judged by another's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? So, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the Church of God. Even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example, as I follow the example of Christ. Well, I think we'll understand this better if we just spend a few moments in the context that Paul was writing into. The issue here is that there is food in the meat market that has been previously offered to idols in sacrifice. And it's a difficult issue which the Corinthians, and clearly Paul as well, are wrestling with. Should you buy and eat such meat or not? Earlier he had said, don't take part in idol feasts, and he'd been really strong about that, as we saw in our reflection entitled The Imperfect Church. But this is a different issue. It's more subtle. We might even say that it's a grey area. And that should make us prick up our ideas, because as we seek to live as disciples of Jesus, as we seek to do what is right and avoid what is wrong, then we encounter grey areas as well. We're not quite sure which way to turn. We're not quite sure what Jesus would have done. How does Paul tackle this difficult, thorny issue? Well, he says that there is nothing wrong with eating the meat in and of itself. And his reasoning is in verse 26. It's all God's. Yes, this meat may have been offered to an idol, but although that's wrong, although the Corinthians mustn't participate in idol feasts, at the end of the day, it's just meat, and it's all God's. But that doesn't mean that it's right to eat it all the time, because we must be mindful of the other. We must put others first. This is the example of Christ that we see in chapter 11, verse 1. Our Lord Jesus himself again and again sought his joy in doing the Father's will and in serving others. He put others first. He had extraordinary rights as not only Son of Man, but also Son of God. But he laid those rights on one side to serve others. And that is the principle that should guide us. An illustration from church history may help us here, an illustration that comes from the life of the 19th century preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and it concerns alcohol. Spurgeon lived in an era where the temperance movement was beginning to take off, and churches were increasingly saying, you mustn't drink alcohol if you are a Christian. And Spurgeon stood against that because he didn't believe that that's what the Bible said. And on this issue, I stand with Spurgeon. I don't believe that the scriptures prohibit the drinking of alcohol. And yet Spurgeon, towards the end of his life, did stop drinking alcohol, and he encouraged others not to drink as well. Why was that the case? Well, he lived in a context where the urban and rural poor were both extremely affected by drunkenness. It was the era of the gin palaces. Cheap alcohol was available. And what would often happen is that the men would receive their wages, they would go to the gin palace, they would go to the ale house, they would spend basically all that they had, they would come home, they might be abusive to their wives and their children, there would be no bread on the table for the next day. So it was wreaking havoc with people's lives. And so Spurgeon said, because of this, I am going to set an example. And he was essentially saying, I'm not just going to ask the question, what is permissible? But I'm going to ask the question, what is beneficial? What is constructive? What is the best thing to do in this situation as a disciple of Jesus Christ? And I want to encourage us to ask that question ourselves. You know, not what can I get away with, not what is my right, but what is best in discipleship, in my own particular context, in my own life. So just going back to the example of alcohol again, we can apply this to all sorts of examples, but just to pick up on something that is concrete and real, I say again that I don't believe that the Bible prohibits the drinking of alcohol. Sometimes Christians have tried to argue that. There's Paul's instruction to Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. I actually heard someone preach on that once and say that what the Apostle Paul meant was that it was to be taken externally. Timothy was to rub it into his stomach. He wasn't to drink it. That's not what the text is saying. And so this is permissible, I believe, but it may not be beneficial. if you've got people in your family who are alcoholics, if you are seeking to reach out to Muslims, those who are following the way of Islam, then drinking alcohol, yeah, may be permissible, but is it really helpful in your context, in your situation? Well, I leave these questions with you as I leave them with myself. May we ask ourselves not just what is permissible, but what is beneficial, what is constructive, what is honouring to God. And as we've all already said in these reflections, what is most likely to further the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? We pray together. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your word. We praise you for the example of the Apostle Paul, who said, yeah, what is permissible? That's an important question. But actually, we need to ask ourselves other questions as well. What is beneficial? What is constructive? What is most honouring to our Lord Jesus? How can we most imitate his example? Help us, Lord our God, to ask ourselves these questions right now about the issue of alcohol, about different things that we do with our time and our lives, the way that we live. Lord, we want to live lightly and freely as disciples of Jesus. Show us the way in our own contexts, in our own day-to-day lives. Show us what this looks like and help us to follow in your footsteps, Lord Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.